Hey everyone, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey. It's going good. We're back. We're
Did
back
you mess
again.
up? Dun dun dun.
Yeah, I missed you guys. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in ages.
Yeah, I know. We've been pretty separated for a long time. And we're all working in different areas. So we definitely haven't been able to hang out, obviously. Social distancing
has really ruined our plans.
Yeah, we had so many plans for this month.
What have you guys been doing like this past week?
Really nothing, just working. I'm on Hemoc. It hasn't been bad, not too busy. It's been good.
Don't jinx. Don't jinx yourself.
Yeah, no, knock on wood. Hopefully it doesn't get crazy. But it's been pretty good. What about you guys?
My week has been pretty good. We celebrated my husband's birthday, social distancing. Oh,
what'd you guys do?
My parents and my in-laws came over and we hung out outside.
Yeah, like social distancing.
6 feet apart.
That's good.
And then
That's
we fun. Watched. Yeah, you know, it wasn't bad. It was cute. And then he actually shares a birthday with his sister-in-law. So I went to their house to see the kids. And then we did some more social distancing.
What was on the menu?
Oh, so yeah, I cooked for him all day, actually. So I made him in the morning, like a cinnamon French toast bake thing. Mm. And then I made beef Wellington. It was the first time I made it.
One of those?
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of work, let me tell you.
That's the one that's like stuffed inside, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You like wow. do stuff, then you have to like refrigerate it for like half an hour. It's like a whole day thing.
I saw it on Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, yeah. I used Aaron Ramsey's recipe. yeah, so Chitha liked it. He didn't throw up, so that's a good sign.
Does he normally throw up, or is that something that happens?
No, I'm actually a pretty decent cook, believe it or not. But he has thrown up from a birthday gift before.
Oh,
how?
When we first started dating, I think for his first birthday, I thought it would be super cool to get him one of those like helicopter rides where like you go in the helicopter and like you, not that helicopter, sorry, a small plane, whatever they're called. I don't know. Those little plane thingies. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to do that. I thought it'd be a really cool thing for us to do together. So we went and he like sat in the front. I sat in the back. We ended up bringing someone related to as well. So two of us are in the back and he's with the pilot. And not going to lie, I definitely had a lot of motion sickness and I got really scared. So the entire time I not only screamed, but I held on to the back of his chair. So I kept like vibrating it and shaking it violently. And I just kept asking him to please land the plane because I was so scared. So then the pilot gave him the opportunity to fly the plane himself. He refused. So the pilot made him do it. he did. He did a really good job. And then he let go. And then as soon as he got off the plane, I felt great. And Chilla threw up everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And he blamed it by screaming and shaking up his chair. But, you know, I think he was a little scared.
That's crazy.
So, moral of the story, don't ever get your husband or your boyfriend. The helicopter
ride.
You don't like it.
Okay, so speaking of throwing up, today's topic is baby spit ups. So today we are very excited to have Dr. Renee Dar, our wonderful co-resident and expert in reflux. She received her medical degree from Central Michigan University and has a special interest in gastroenterology. She has conducted research on the diagnosis and treatment of gastroesophageal reflux disease, according to the North American Society for Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition guidelines. She will be presenting this topic at a statewide summit, the Michigan Summit on Quality Improvement and Patient Safety. Also, side note, she is my best friend from childhood, and I'm so happy to excited to introduce you to Dr. Renee Dar.
Hi, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Hi. Welcome. We're so excited to have you.
I said that because I'm pretty sure when I met you guys, the first day of residence, it's exactly how I met you guys. You both said we've been best friends since we were little.
I know. It was like, it was so funny. I was so shocked that like both of you guys ended up in the same residency program. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because you didn't go to the same med school, right?
No, but I think like elementary school, middle school, college was the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
So cool.
So parents tend to come into clinic a lot during the newborn period complaining like that their baby's spitting up, that they're always vomiting, they're scared that they're not gaining weight, they're not getting enough nutrition. Like this happens on a daily basis. Parents are coming in and being like, my baby's vomiting, my baby's vomiting. So we wanted to discuss if spitting up is a problem and when not parents should be concerned.
Yes, it's a very, very huge topic. And Raheen's right, we see it all the time. Probably the number one complaint that we see in clinic.
All day, every day.
So we have so many questions for you, Renee. Why don't I start? So what is a baby, like what is baby spit up? And how do you, like, how would you explain it to a parent?
So baby spit up is essentially when babies take in milk, it's just kind of the leftover milk in the baby's stomach that comes up, usually through burping and usually right after or in the middle of a feed, generally. It shouldn't be green. There shouldn't be any blood or anything like that. It just kind of looks like undigested milk.
And it's pretty normal for your baby to spit up?
It's very normal for babies to spit up. It's actually how the anatomy is made. We have a tube from our mouth that goes all the way down to our stomach. That's called the esophagus. And that kind of connects the food to travel from the mouth to the stomach. And then there's a little sphincter on top that kind of closes off the stomach. So when things are kind of getting mixed in the stomach, food stays in there. But in babies, that sphincter is pretty floppy. Sphincter
is a muscle, by the way, for those of you who don't know. So yes, if it's floppy.
It's floppy in babies. And so what happens is when babies are digesting all their milk in their stomach, some of the milk goes through that little locking key sphincter and goes into the esophagus, and they kind of spit a little bit of it out, but it's completely normal.
So is it the same as vomiting, like vomiting in an adult?
No. So vomiting in an adult is generally a very acute process. It's not something that happens normally after meals in a healthy individual. In babies, spitting up, again, it's just it's kind of something we expect just because of the way their anatomy is set up. So again, it's a very normal reaction in babies, as long as babies are gaining weight appropriately, they're not having any issues meeting all of their milestones, they have no other associated symptoms. It's really not anything we worry about.
So a lot of times parents have questions about certain diseases known as GER or GERD. Can you tell us what they are and what the difference is between the two?
Yes. So GER is actually reflux. It's the undigested milk in the stomach that kind of comes up when a baby's burping. If you've ever felt that experience of heartburn, it's kind of similar to that. GERD is gastroesophageal reflux disease. So gastroesophageal reflux disease is when babies are having excessive amounts of spitting up, but it's causing harm to their daily functioning. These are babies that are having a lot of pain. They're having back arching. They're having issues with breathing when they're kind of having spit up, and they're not really gaining weight appropriately. That's when their pediatrician will diagnose them with gastroesophageal reflux disease, GERD.
Okay.
One has a D, one does not. D equals disease.
Exactly. D is disease. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if a family comes in and they're saying, my baby is spitting up, what are the different signs that you're sort of looking for that point to a concern?
So the first thing as a pediatrician you look at when your patient comes in, I think you guys can all agree, is you kind of look at how the baby looks physically in front of you, how they're developing. Mm-hmm. Have they gained weight? Do they have any issues developmentally that you're kind of noticing on your exam? You also want to ask the parents about what type of spit up the baby is having. Is there any blood in it? Does it look like undigested milk, or does it kind of look more like coffee ground vomit? Is it green? Are they having tiredness? They're just not really hard to arouse during these episodes. Are they having a lot of back arching? Are they having trouble? They seem like they're choking when they're having these episodes. Those would be the more distressing signs that a pediatrician would look for. But again, if they're just simply spitting up a little bit of undigested milk, but they're happy and they're gaining weight and there's no other associated symptoms, that's not anything we really worry about.
So Renee, is there any like red flag that you would say, you know, if you see this in your baby, then take them to the emergency room and don't wait to be seen by your pediatrician?
I think if there's an acute change, so if the baby's kind of lethargic looking, they look really dehydrated, they're not taking any feeds the whole day, you're noticing a decrease in the number of wet diapers and dirty diapers they've been having, that is more concerning, and that would be a time you'd want to get them seen right away.
All right, good. Good to know. So how much spitting up is normal? Is there an amount that's too much for a baby to spit up, or
a safe amount?
So is there a safe amount?
Yeah. So as long as your baby is gaining weight appropriately and they're growing along their growth curve, they're looking hydrated, they're thriving, the amount of spit up shouldn't be too concerning. We get concerned when babies are spitting up all of their feeds and they're looking lethargic and they're not really gaining weight appropriately and they're having other issues with it. That's when we tend to get very concerned. But as long as your baby is thriving, as pediatricians, when it comes to spit ups, we really don't get as concerned or feel the need for further intervention at that point.
So yeah, I think like also it's hard to assess how much a baby's spitting up. I know like we ask parents, how much is your baby spitting up, or like with how many feeds? But they can't really give us an exact answer. Like, they don't even know how much of an ounce is. I don't blame them, because, like, I didn't really know how much an ounce was before I started residency. especially, like, in liquid form when it's spread out on, like, your clothes and on a table or something. It's like, how much volume is that really? We don't know.
In honesty, you're just super annoyed if you change your child 5 million times a day. So to you, it seems like it's a lot.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. Parents tend to overestimate how much their baby's spitting up.
Exactly, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at around what age would you say most babies outgrow spit ups?
So generally we see spitting up tend to peak between 2 to 4 months. That's when a lot of these patients come into our clinics, and these are the main complaints at the 2 month visit and the 4 month visit is the amount of spit up the baby is having. As they get older, that muscle I was talking about, the sphincter above the stomach that connects the esophagus to the stomach, that actually kind of grows and strengthens by about 1 year of age. So 9 months to a year around that time, you can tend to see these episodes disappear. And that's something we kind of tell our parents as well, that these reflux symptoms, as long as baby is thriving, they just kind of have to grow out of it. As they get more developmental, mature, these episodes tend to decrease.
Yeah, and it turns out that like half of all 0 to 3 month old babies, they spit up at least once per day. So your baby is likely not abnormal, and parents should know that most other babies their age are doing the exact same thing and spitting up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a good point. So what about the question that we often get, like, is my baby going to starve, or how do I know that they're getting enough nutrition if they're spitting up all the time?
So this is a very, very common question I think we all have probably gotten in our clinics. I think the most important thing, like we keep reiterating, is that as long as the baby is growing along their growth curve, they're gaining weight appropriately, they're meeting all their milestones, they're not really having any other distressing symptoms, they're getting more than enough nutrition. And that's what we as pediatricians use to assess that. If a baby is growing and they're weight gain and their milestones are developing appropriately, then we feel they're getting enough nutrition.
What should you do if your baby's actually having concerning symptoms?
So if your babies are having concerning symptoms very acutely, where you're kind of looking like they look very lethargic, they're hard to arouse, they haven't really had any wet diapers all day, they're not eating anything, you're very worried, it's the middle of the night, take them right to the emergency room. If it's something that has happened, such as the baby has back arching with these episodes of spitting up, or you're worried about weight gain, or you're not sure if you the color of the spit up looked like undigested food, if there was blood in it or anything like that, and it's kind of been going on for a little bit, go see your pediatrician. Anytime you have any sort of concerning symptoms with your child, just talk to your pediatrician about it. Because again, that's the pediatrician's job to assess and see if further workup needs to be done for your child or if this is just simple reflux and the baby will just grow out of it as they mature.
Yeah, definitely. So are there some options that parents can do at home? Because we're saying that most of the time spit ups are not concerning, is there anything parents can do at home to prevent these spit ups and keep baby comfortable?
Yeah, so there's like a few tricks that works for some of my patients' parents. One thing that has worked for a lot of patients is that after you feed the baby, keep the baby upright for about 30 minutes. This kind of helps, gravity helps keep the food in the stomach and prevents it from going to the esophagus and kind of coming back out. Another thing that you can do is thickening feeds. Some parents add certain agents to their formula or breast milk to thicken it. But whenever you're thickening feeds, this should be done with the pediatrician's supervision. So whenever you want to thicken feeds, you should talk about this with your pediatrician because it does get complicated when you are increasing certain things in the formula. You have to increase certain other things. You just want to make sure you're mixing the formula properly. There's also, you can feed the baby, and halfway through each feed, you can actually burp the baby so that the baby is still getting their feeds, but it's not as overwhelming on their stomach at one point in time. So you can feed the baby for 15 minutes, burp them, and then finish the feed. That has worked for some patients. You can also decrease the amount of formula or breast milk per feeds as well. A lot of my patients, they've actually been overfed, and that's what's causing some of their reflux symptoms. Parents were feeding a one-month-old 4 ounces of formula when the one-month-old stomach is really not big enough to handle that much formula at that point in time, and baby was throwing the extra formula that they couldn't fit up. So that's another thing. But again, if you want to think about changing baby's feeds, you have any concerns, make sure you talk about it with your pediatrician.
Question about thickening. So when you thicken the formula, because a lot of parents do like rice cereal or whatever to thicken it, then you have to end up cutting the nipple so that more the fluid comes out. Like, getting more air.
So one thing you want to remember if you're thickening feeds, sometimes the thicker feeds don't always flow as well through the normal size nipple. So sometimes you have to get a larger nipple for a baby so that the feeds can flow a little bit better through it. But again, you should be talking to your pediatrician about this, and your pediatrician will advise you what the best course of action is for your child.
Yeah.
So, Renee, how do you feel about switching formulas? Because we have many families that come in, and they said they tried out Similac, wasn't working so good. A girlfriend told them to switch to Enfamil Gentilease, and now it's working great. What are your thoughts on that?
So, certain formulas are different in ways that can help reflux. For example, Enfamil AR, what happens is when that formula touches baby's stomach, there's thickeners in it that make the formula thicker so that it's harder for it to come out. So formulas like that can help infants who are having some moderate reflux symptoms. But when you're switching between normal Similac to normal Enfamil, some parents claim that this formula works better for their baby than the other one. The formulas are generally pretty equal in their nutrients that they're delivering to the baby. So unless they have certain things like the Enfamil AR that acts as a thickener when it hits the acid in the baby's stomach, they're pretty equal.
Is it the rice? What is it? Is it the rice starch thickener or is that something different?
The rice starch thickener, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's good to
know. So if you guys just remember, if you're prescribing Enfamil AR to your patients, it won't work if they're on a PPI or an H2RA blocker because babies need the acid in the stomach for the formula to get activated. So if babies are on a PPI or an H2RA, medications that are used to treat acid in the stomach and decreases the acidity in the stomach to treat some troublesome reflux symptoms, then you can't use Enfamil AR. It won't work.
Oh, okay. That's really a good point.
Yeah.
But I have another question that reminded me of. Mm-hmm. How does soy formula affect anything or everything?
So soy formula is going to be used for infants that have what we call like a cow's milk protein allergy, or they're intolerant of cow's milk formula. So those are patients that we would generally switch to soy. There are some parents that have a very strong belief in the dietary habits of their children, and they don't want their children consuming any meat products. And sometimes that is still a healthy alternative for infants as well.
And so I know also, like, Slavica, you said, what about, like, Enfamil Gentle Ease? Mm-hmm. So from what I know, that normally shouldn't really make much of a difference, right? It doesn't have anything in it that would prevent spit ups. Is that correct?
All my moms say it does.
Yeah, it seems like parents really, really like it. But I don't know if we have any.
It's the name. Gentle Ease.
Yeah, the way it's marketed.
Gentle on your stomach. I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
Does it make a difference? Renee, do you know?
No, I mean, they're pretty, I don't know, because it's the ingredients are equal among the formulas. And the ones that are actually targeted for reflux are things like Enfamil AR and the ones with the actual right starch thickeners in it. But Enfamil Gentle Ease, I believe, doesn't have that in it. I don't know for sure, but it doesn't. I'm pretty sure it doesn't have that in it, so it really shouldn't make a difference. A lot of the time, parents come in, they keep switching formulas up until the baby is about 4 to 5 months old, and they feel, oh, switching formulas solve the baby's reflux problems. Right. But what they're not understanding is that the baby is just growing bigger, and that muscle that holds all the food in the stomach has actually gotten stronger. And that's why baby is not spitting up as much anymore. It's not necessarily the change in formula.
Right.
Also, I've known families where they try taking formulas and eventually they end up going to see a specialist or someone and end up being started at a PPI right around the 4 month mark. Mm-hmm. So try the exact same thing versus what made baby feel better. But I do want to ask, what are some signs that your child might be either intolerant to cow's milk or allergic to it?
So there's different things. When you're looking at a child with reflux, there are different things that it could be besides reflux when a pediatrician is looking at this child. One thing is cow's milk protein allergy, and one thing is eosinophilic esophagitis. So cow's milk protein allergy, they're going to have vomiting, a lot of vomiting after every meal. They're going to have issues with weight gain. They're going to have a rash. You might see some blood in their stool or very mucus like stools. When you see those symptoms, that's more concerning, and that's when you want to test for cow's milk protein allergy. Again, there was something else I said, eosinophilic esophagitis or EOE. This is kind of when patients have an issue with their actual esophagus, and patients will be throwing up a lot of their meals, and they'll be having trouble gaining weight. And again, it's when it comes to, when you see a child in your office who is an infant and they're not gaining weight, even though mom says they're feeding them, that's an alarming sign for a pediatrician. And that's when we start to dig deeper and order more tests to figure out what exactly is going on. Is this a simple reflux, or is this something else on top of reflux?
So what about, I know Slavica mentioned like PPI. So what is a PPI or an H2 blocker? Sometimes parents get put on these. Like, what are they? Do babies even need them? And what do they do?
So a PPI is a proton pump inhibitor and an H2RA blocker. Basically what these do is they decrease the acid production in your stomach. So when you get put on these types of medications for reflux, or when your child gets put on, they decrease the acidity in your stomach. So it decreases the discomfort that happens when the food is coming up through the esophagus into the mouth. But it does not actually prevent your baby from having symptoms of reflux, just spitting up. The only thing that will prevent the spit up is anything that will keep the food down in the stomach. That means the muscle, the sphincter that I was talking about, grows stronger, or the formula is thicker and gravity kind of helps keep the food in the stomach. But these acid reducing agents, they don't necessarily prevent the overt signs of reflux. And they actually come with side effects. Infants who are placed on these acid blockers are actually more prone to infections because the acid in your stomach kind of kills bacteria and viruses and other things. So they are more prone to infections. They have a lot of other side effects. So we don't like to put children on these acid blocking agents unless they truly need it.
Right. I think that's an important point to just echo to parents that what we say pathophysiology or like how this, how GERD or GER happens is not similar to the acid reflux in adults, right? It's not really the acid portion. It's more the muscle just being weak.
It's the anatomical.
Right? Exactly.
The normal anatomy of the baby.
Right. Exactly. There are some babies that when they're in having very, very distressing symptoms where they kind of stop breathing when they're having these episodes or their back is arching, they're screaming, they look very, very uncomfortable. Those are patients that pediatricians might try these acid reducing agents. But for the most part, most patients don't need it, especially at the 2 to 4 month mark. They kind of just have to kind of grow through that period.
Yeah, and I also think like it's important to note that even if your child is started on a PPI or H2 blocker, they're still going to be spitting up. They'll just be kept more comfortable. So if your concern is the volume of their spit ups and the frequency, that's likely not going to change with one of those medications.
Yeah, and you want to make sure when your child is placed on these medications, these are not long-term medications because, like I said, they do have side effects. So whenever a child is placed on these medications, your pediatrician should be reevaluating after 4 to 8 weeks if this patient actually needs to continue on this medication or if they can wean this medication off. Because your child should not be continued on this medication for years unless they have an underlying issue that would require it.
So Renee, Zantac has been on the news a lot lately and it has been recalled. What are your thoughts on Zantac, the reasonings behind the recall?
So they're actually saying that there's an ingredient in Zantac that is linked to cancer or the development of cancer. So per the American Academy of Pediatric Recommendations, children should no longer be taking Zantac. So if your child is on Zantac right now, you should discontinue the medication immediately and contact your pediatrician to get a substitute for that medication. We have many other substitutes like famotidine, omeprazole, all different types of medications that are used in place of it. But as of right now, the recommendation is to stop taking Zantac because of the risk of cancer developing later on because of an ingredient in it.
So a lot of people like ask about antacids. Is that an option for newborn babies or babies in general?
So generally, we don't start newborn babies on antacids like Tums. Those are generally reserved for children who are older, who are able to chew and who actually can express these symptoms of heartburn when they're expressing that they're having some burning in their chest or some chest pain after eating. Those are patients we trial antacids on.
A lot of parents come into clinic asking for a specific test to diagnose reflux. Is this something that is available, or is this mostly a clinical diagnosis?
So when you're trying to diagnose a baby with reflux, it's mainly a clinical diagnosis. There's not a specific test that for sure will tell you if your baby has reflux or not. We know the majority of infants will have reflux. So it's usually a clinical diagnosis. We look at the whole patient. We look at the whole picture, what their symptoms are, and we kind of put the puzzle pieces together. But there's not a specific test that's reliable that will tell you if your baby is having significant reflux. There are different studies you can use, such as a pH probe that can measure the acid in your esophagus. They put a little probe in your esophagus. It measures the acid at certain times. These are more complex studies, and these are reserved for patients who have very distressing symptoms. But for simple reflux, there's not a specific test. A pediatrician will make the diagnosis by just kind of hearing the story from the parents and looking at the baby.
Yeah, so it seems like overall, from everything that we've talked about and learned, it seems to be that spit-ups are pretty normal and they seem to be more distressing for parents than they are for the actual baby. So keep that in mind, parents, when you're concerned about spit-ups. It can be completely normal and unfortunately you're going to have to keep changing your clothes multiple times a day.
And with that, staying the no on the go with 3 peas in a pod.